Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Tuesday, August 9th. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. Coast to coast across America, good to be with you on this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is also the memorial of St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, also known as St. Edith Stein. St. Teresa converted from Judaism to the Catholic faith in the course of her work as a philosopher and later entered the Carmelite Order. She died in the Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz back in 1942. You can always find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our email, if you want to send us a message, morningair@relevantradio.com. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines here this hour?
Well, John, kind of an unprecedented story yesterday. The FBI raiding former President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago, Florida, looking for classified documents said to be taken from the White House, about 15 boxes of material taken. They looked in his safe and everything. The president, of course, not very happy about that, nor his family either, as we hear from the president's son, Eric Trump.
To have 30 FBI agents, actually more than that, descend on Mar-a-Lago, give absolutely no notice. And this is coming from what, the National Archives? Because the National Archives wanted to, you know, corroborate whether or not Donald Trump had any documents in his possession.
Glenn, Eric Trump perhaps gave the clearest indication yet of a possible Donald Trump 2024 run for president following this raid. So it brings up many questions about what some are calling a very political move by the FBI.
Well, Mr. Trump didn't look good in the wake of the 9/11 hearings, of course, and Democrats trying to keep that bad look going as well, and maybe hoping to dissuade him from running in 2024. He's hinted at that he may announce even before the midterm elections coming up this fall. He's got a new video out as well in response to this that some say it looks kind of like campaign material. So we'll see, and Republicans betting heavily that he would be the Democrats betting heavily he'd be the Republican favorite at this point. That remains to be seen, but certainly an unusual series of events, John.
Yeah, no question. It's unprecedented. As far as I know, this has never happened in American history that a former president's home is raided in this fashion.
No, and there's also some concern by those who think far enough ahead. If there is a Republican majority in Congress after the midterm elections, all kinds of investigations could be going the other way toward Democrats who currently are in control.
One of the big questions is why did they do it when the president wasn't there? I'm talking about the FBI going into his home in Mar-a-Lago. He was actually in New York City at the Trump Towers.
That would have been maybe a little too interesting or even dangerous if he was there. Who knows?
Yeah, well, his reaction obviously was very strong. There is a reaction on both sides of the aisle, and we'll see what develops today, whether or not we'll hear from the Attorney General or further from the FBI.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll keep you updated on the latest on that very unusual situation with, again, the FBI going after former President Trump's home.
Glenn, meanwhile, Hollywood and the rest of our nation is remembering Olivia Newton-John, who died of cancer yesterday. She was one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, by all accounts, a great human as well as a great singer, too. Died at the age of 73, losing a battle against breast cancer that recurred for the third time, first diagnosed back in 1992.
Yeah, and who could ever forget her in the movie Grease with John Travolta, a young Olivia Newton-John back then. And she was quite a pop idol back in those days.
Yeah, and even before that, I remember her as a little kid from the early 70s with all of those sort of mellow country crossover hits as well. So pretty big catalog of songs that people know from Olivia Newton-John.
Olivia Newton-John, may she rest in peace. And finally, we have yet another story of beagles in the news this morning.
Some 4,000 beagles rescued from Virginia. They were used in labs for experiments. And John, as a beagle lover, that had to scare you, but bringing you great joy that knowing the world has 4,000 more beagles than maybe it would have a few years from now.
What the world needs now is more beagles. Yeah, I have a big heart for beagles. No question about it. We have our own beagle, Blaze, in the family. And I tell you, you know, once you have a beagle, you kind of fall in love with them. As my wife always says, how can you say no to the beagle eyes? She used to be a cat lover, and now she's a convert. She loves beagles.
Well, and Snoopy, the famous cartoon dog, a beagle, of course, as well. So beagles immortalized forever there, John.
How can you forget? We actually used to have a Snoopy. We had Snoopy before we had Blaze. We had Snoopy 1 and Snoopy 2. So we are definitely a beagle family. So I'm so happy to hear that these 4,000 little beagles, these merry little beagles, have been rescued from the Virginia Research Facility. May they end up in some happy families across our country.
Very good. Very good.
And I'm sure they will, too, because that's a lot of dogs to find homes for. But you know what? There's a lot of people who are looking for a nice pet to bring into their house to kind of break up, you know, the dynamic of their house and to add some company and comfort. So they'll be a perfect place. And you said they were going to Michigan, right? So if you're in Michigan and you're hearing us now, look out for those beagles. They're howling through your town soon.
Yeah, some are going to Michigan, but I'm sure they're going all over the country. And, you know, Sarah, as a mama of little ones, I just want you to know that beagles are especially good with really little kids. The little kids in my neighborhood, they love Blaze. Every time he comes out, they all come running to Blaze. They want to, hey, can we pet him? Can we touch his ear?
John, I think you've been talking to my kids behind my back because they're constantly looking for a beagle-type dog to enter our house. So we'll see. One day we might be barking up that beagle tree. So see what we can find.
May you have a Snoopy one day. All right. Sarah, Glenn, as always, thanks so much. We always begin every hour in prayer here on Morning Air, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on the show. Whenever we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A quick reminder on Tuesdays, I always take a moment to remind you about the importance of praying to our guardian angel. Even though you can't see your guardian angel, they are without a doubt present with you. We should ask our guardian angel for help in our everyday lives. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Philippians 2:10 and 11. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, "Jesus, I trust in you." And now let's talk about love.
Love is everything we need.
back, I spoke with our resident loveologist and love lady, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, about why we are free to love on. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, the former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. Listen to my conversation with Martha Fernandez-Sardina. Good morning, Martha. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's always great to be with you again as we continue our weekly series on love.
Good morning. It's great to be with you and with our listeners, John.
Absolutely. Can you give us a little bit of a recap of what we've been talking about from the very beginning since we started this series, the main message that we've been talking about, that we are lovable, we are love-able, and God is love?
It's the three main tenets of this outreach that I developed, Remember You Are Loved, and I think they encapsulate and reflect the entirety of the gospel. God is love, and because he's an overflow of love, he thought us into existence. We came pre-loved, in other words, lovable, from the factory, from the mind and the heart of God, because he himself has poured his love into us. And if you look up the word lovable, John, in the dictionary, you'll get things like of such a nature as to attract love, deserving love. Yes, we are deserving of love, and we came pre-loved. And secondly, we came with the ability to love. We are love able, which is why the Lord commands that we love him and one another as he has loved us. And all of that, again, is possible because God is love. And if you look at all the teachings of the Catholic faith, you will see that it all flows from those three principles, that we are to love one another, that we are to carry out the works of mercy, the corporal works of mercy, the spiritual works of mercy, that we are to engage in deep, profound, lasting conversion, that we are to take on the mind of Christ, that we are to act like Christ, et cetera, et cetera. All the message, the pro-life message, the social Catholic social teachings, all of it is really a product, if you will, an enactment of these three great principles, that God is love, and because he is love, we are lovable, and because we are like God, we are love able.
And this message of love really is at the heart of the gospel. I mean, this is what it's all about. At the end of the day, we are to become people of love. We're going to be judged at the end of our lives on whether or not we were people of love.
That's right. St. John of the Cross says that in his beautiful writings. He says, at the end of our days, we will be judged by love. And I think that means both by the way in which we corresponded to the love of God, who offers us salvation, a salvation that we need. And that is at the essence of love, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him and Jesus Christ may have everlasting life, may not perish. And also we will be judged by God who is love. So hopefully it'll be a merciful judgment, but the Lord himself has warned us that we're in a time of mercy, of abundant, exuberant, extravagant mercy. But this also precedes that time and that moment of justice in which we will actually be before he who will judge us by love.
Martha, this week's episode is called Free to Love On. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of times we are not free. We are captives of all sorts of things, our own fears, our own inabilities. Sometimes even some people feel sort of unfree and imprisoned in their own shyness. Sometimes we have phobias, of social phobias, anxieties, or sometimes we're just imprisoned. We're not free to love as we ought, and even to receive love as we ought, because of our own indifference to others, because of our selfishness, all our self-centeredness. And many times, and it seems like it's growing, John, we are embittered, we are angry, we are prejudiced, we are biased. There's a growth in mistrust and distrust. And so a number of other things that that we can talk about today that do not allow us to be free. And then some things that do open us up to be free to love, even love strangers.
I want to invite our listeners, if you want to join this conversation on the power of love, maybe you have some love stories that you'd like to share with us, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Martha, you have said to love and to be lovable is the most important thing about being human, but why is it so difficult at times?
Well, it is interesting because that is actually the most natural thing to be to receive love and to give love. You see that in babies, you know, the way they respond to you. But then we also see that babies will respond according to that which they're receiving. If you look at them with eyes of love, if you do the little baby talk with them, if you caress them, if you attend to their basic needs, they receive the love and they respond back with the laughter, with the smile, etc. But if they receive harshness, if they're not looked at with love, if they are mistreated, if they're even abused, and unfortunately that happens, that even babies and toddlers and children are abused, if they receive that, then that inhibits and impedes too often their ability both to receive love and to give love. And so that in a sense, it thwarts their growth as human beings. And many times, not always, it can thwart even their ability to relate to God as love, because what they're receiving from parents or grandparents or other family members or strangers or teachers or coaches or from whomever, what they're receiving is not that pure flow of love from God. And so it is the most human thing, but it can also thwart our human and our Christian and our spiritual growth if we're not careful.
We're joined by Martha Fernandez Sardina, international Catholic evangelist, as we continue our series, Remember You Are Loved. Martha, it's especially difficult during crisis times. I think you can really see where a person's at in terms of their ability to love during a time of crisis.
Yes, that is when the love muscle is put to the test. Sometimes it grows stronger than ever. It's like weightlifting, and people's ability to receive love and to give love and to experience God as love is strengthened, is fortified. And we've seen it even within the last 15, 16 months in many people. But we've also seen in this crisis and in other crises, personal crises, marriage crises, health crises, etc., that those things are affected, and it's like people grow weaker. Many times when you're in a crisis, you feel that you're very alone, that you're not receiving affirmation from others, you're not receiving help from others, you're not receiving that look of love, that gaze of love that Pope Benedict spoke about. And therefore, many times that affects the way in which you respond to the crisis. Other times, it's quite the opposite. Somebody stops and takes the time to look you in the eyes, to tell you, remember, you are loved, to be a cheerleader, to be a coach, to be an encourager, to be there with you, suffering with you, compassion, showing compassion in your passion and your suffering. So in moments of crises, our ability to give love is really put to the test, and also to receive it, because a lot of times that happens too, John, that some people don't want to be in the moment of crisis. We sort of want to shelter ourselves from a prying eye, or we don't want anybody to judge us, or whatever it may be. And so a lot of times people withdraw, and that can also be a hindrance to that love giving and love receiving.
Martha, can you give us some practical tips, perhaps, of how we can better be free to love?
Let me tell you a little story, something that happened just a week or two ago. I was shopping, and when I came out from the establishment, I was getting into my car, and I noticed someone across the parking lot on a sidewalk, and she was sitting in one of those little like beach chairs, ones you take to ball games, to soccer games, whatever. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd. I wonder why she's just sitting there. So as I got in my car and I pulled up alongside the sidewalk, and I rolled my window down, and I said, hi, how are you doing? And I started up a conversation. I said, what are you doing here? She said, oh, just, you know, enjoying the fresh air. And then she went on immediately. She said, I'm going through a real rough time, and I left my husband. I'm going to get a divorce. And she went on to tell me, John, all the details of the struggles she's having, not just now, but struggles that she has had with her eyesight, struggles that she's had with her mother, struggles that she had or the loss of her grandmother who loved her so dearly, and a number of things, and how she was waiting for a phone call from two different women's shelter, Batters Women's Shelters. And anyway, we spent about 20 minutes, she's sitting in her chair on the sidewalk and me sitting in my car talking. And I began to minister to her and to remind her how lovable she is and how much potential she has, and asked her what she had done before. And if you could do anything in life, what would you do with your life? And so she told me I was actually in culinary school. And then she gave me the details of why that ended, and how she would like to continue that and so forth. And then I gave her one of my little bracelets. I gave it to her and I asked her, what's your name? She said, Ray Shira. And I said, Ray Shira, remember you are loved. She was so happy. And I said, because I said to her, I don't have any money to give you or anything. She said, you giving me your time, you stopping and talking to me is the most precious gift that you could give me. And so I gave that. And then I kept sensing, John, and this is something that is very important to love. If you sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do something a little bit out of the ordinary, that in itself is out of the ordinary, right? For people to stop and talk to strangers on a sidewalk. But another one, I kept feeling this nudge, John, to get out and go to the back of my vehicle because there was a little booklet there that she needed. Well, I did just that. And I said, well, listen, Ray Shira, I keep feeling that I should give you something that I have in the back of the car. I have several books in the back of my car in the trunk. So I opened up in the first box, I put my hand in it and I pulled it out, the fruits of the spirit, love. And I gave it to her and she was ecstatic. She jumped up and down. She said, oh my gosh, this is what my godmother used to talk about all the time, the fruits of the spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So there's just one little story that encapsulates several of those tips that I like to give to people. Take the time. If you notice someone that you think, wow, that person, I wonder what's going on there. That person might need some loving. Stop. Take the time. Number two, look them in the eyes. Ask them their name. Be a friend. Be a neighbor. Jesus says, love your neighbor. Thirdly, engage with them with their sorrow, with their pain. Fourth, bring them to another level if you can. Encourage them. Give them some hope for the future. And number five, if you have a little something, in my case, I recommend a wristband that says, remember you are loved. Give it to them so that they might carry with them a reminder everywhere they go that they are loved. That's Ray Shira.
And Martha, these love boosters, these happy chemicals, they're not only good for us physically, but they're also good for us spiritually. They're good for our soul.
When you're depressed, that affects you. That affects many times. It affects your ability to pray, your desire to go to Mass or not go to Mass, to carry out your devotions. If you are in any way unmotivated, many times you're unable to carry out the duties of your daily life, which are an expression of love for God and neighbor. Many times it does not make it easy for you to carry out your work, your ministry, your outreach, etc. So these things do have a connection with our spiritual life. And it also, we say in Espanol, está apagadita, imagine an oil lamp and the light is not bright, you know, it means that it's apagado means off, but somebody who's sort of, their enthusiasm is kind of lessened, you know, have you noticed people, it's like, that person's not their bright, cheery, happy self anymore. What is going on? And so it's good for us to plug into the Lord, plug into faith, plug into love, stay plugged into love. Make sure you do the things that will boost your happy mood chemicals, your love boosters. And one of the best ways to do it, John and I wrap it up with that, is to love, because the more you love, the more you love. And the more you love, the more you love loving.
I love it. Thank you, Martha, as always. Thanks so much for being with us. Can you remind our listeners where they can find you?
Absolutely. You can go to rememberyouareloved.com. It'll take you to our Facebook page, or en español, eresamado.com, and always at marthafernandezsardina.com. John, remember, you are loved.
And that was Morning Air contributor Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Professor Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management, will be with us to share some ideas on why we should do a self-reflection to define values and purpose. So stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview.
It's Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and our producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of our conversation this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, have you ever stopped to see where are you in life? What is your purpose? And reflect if your current actions are going towards those actions. Our next guest spends a lot of time encouraging students and leaders to focus on self-reflection in order to be more self-aware and to find their values, purpose, and what really matters in life beyond the typical superficial and material stuff. Joining us live from Mexico City, Mexico, for much more perspective, is Morning Air regular contributor, Professor Harry Kramer. Harry is a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern's University Kellogg School of Management and is an executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the U.S. Good morning, Professor Harry. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. Great to be with you from La Ciudad de Mexico.
Always great to talk with you, John. Always great to be part of the show.
How special is it to be in Mexico City, the land of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of Relevant Radio?
You know, absolutely fantastic, John. We're down here, and my oldest son got married, but we took a whole day and visited Our Lady of Guadalupe shrine. And you know, from the very beginning of what happened with Juan, and where Our Lady asked him to build the church, and look what's developed, and the fact that you have millions and millions of people, as you probably know, come to the shrine every year. It's just absolutely phenomenal. And to realize that happened in 1513, and that picture that developed on his cloak when they put the roses in it is as bright and shiny and, you know, 500 years, and said there's no way that dye could stay the way it did if it wasn't true. Just an absolutely fascinating story that I'm sure you're well aware of.
We have a replica of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe here in studio with us at all times as a never-ending reminder that she is with us. What was it like for you to be there and to be face-to-face with the original image, this icon from heaven?
Unbelievable, John. You can't even describe it, and to see what Juan did back, you know, 500 years ago, and what the church has done year by year, where they built a different church almost every 100 years, to now the latest one that they built several years ago. I mean, it's just remarkable. You know, you just feel her presence, and you feel the impact that she's had, and what she's asking every one of us to do. As Catholics around the world, to do the best we can, you know, the blink of an eye that we're on this earth, as you and I often talk about, to really prepare for eternity.
Well, you talk about values and purpose and life. I mean, this is what it's all about, our spiritual life, being in the presence of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, really must help you put things in perspective.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It makes reflection and prayer much more alive when you see something like this. And obviously we learn so much from one another. So to watch all of those folks in the square and a lineup, and, you know, that from everything from small babies bringing in to, you know, 90, 95 year old people that are, you know, with a cane or a walker walking past, so they can all be there and see it. And I think that's what so helps, even, you know, when we go to Mass, it's just that sharing community that is so alive. And when to see it right here, it just makes just an enormous impact on you.
Well, it had to be a special moment for you to be there face to face, to look into the eyes of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and be able to share with us this morning.
Oh, absolutely fantastic, my friend. Absolutely fantastic.
Well, our topic is self-reflection, the importance of taking some time to really reflect on our values and purpose. Can you talk to us about why it is important to do that, to have that type of perspective?
Yeah, so the way I think about it, John, is very simple. Every one of our listeners has so much to do. You know, their work, taking care of their family, trying to take care of their health, getting a little bit of sleep, trying to get a little bit of exercise, trying to do what we think God's asking us to do. And it can get completely overwhelming. And I think very, very often, I mention this to students, I mention this to executives, I'll even say to you, John, it's very, very easy to confuse activity and productivity. You know, we're very, very active. And, you know, if you're as conscientious as a lot of our listeners, we just keep going. This is where we multitask. We keep going faster and faster. And I think part of the issue is, I really do believe, if you really truly want to be a good person, if you really want to do what Christ has asked to do, you have to stop and take a little bit of time to be self-reflective, to be prayerful, and actually ask yourself, I think, some very, very important questions. Questions like, what are my values? What is my purpose? What really, really matters? You know, what is Christ asking me to do? And very, very often, when I propose this the first time, people will say, well, sounds great, but John, I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time. And my challenge to all of us is that we don't have the time, or is this something we really don't want to do? Because as you know, John, this could get very sensitive, right? There could be a pretty big difference between what we say we're going to do and what we actually do. And I think taking the time to hold ourselves accountable and to think about this makes life much, much richer. And heaven makes much more sense. And again, when people say, well, you know, I just don't have the time, you know, most of our listeners, you know, commute someplace. Some of them are listening to us in the car right now. Some of us try to take a walk over a break, or maybe some people go to a gym and exercise. You know, there's a lot of time that you could take. And I think by doing it, it just completely enriches your life, I often will tease folks, Chief, that it really makes it all clear. Why am I here? What am I doing? What has God asked me to do? And I take the attitude now, based on the fact that I had gone on this Jesuit spiritual retreat at De Montreville up in St. Paul, Minnesota. They basically taught me that what you really want to do is not only pray, but do something that really becomes a habit. And for me, it really is, as I mentioned to you in the past, it's really exercising St. Ignatius spiritual exercises. And it takes me 15 minutes to do. And everybody can do it in their own way, John, but I have my own little way of doing it every night for 15 minutes before I go to sleep. And it just makes things much clearer, much richer, and significantly reduces the confusion in my life.
Professor Harry, what did you learn from St. Ignatius wrap up the day, the last few minutes of the day? What does St. Ignatius teach us?
Yeah, well, a lot of it is being grateful. And the way I do it, John, is I go through the following. I ask myself the following questions. What did I say I was going to do today? What did I actually do? What am I proud of? What am I not proud of? How did I lead people? How did I follow people? If I lived today over again, John, what would I have done differently? And then the last one is, if I have tomorrow, knowing full well, John, sooner or later I won't, but if I do have tomorrow and I'm a learning person, based on what I learned today, how will I operate differently tomorrow on every dimension of my life that has importance? As a father, as a spouse, as a Catholic, as a worker, as a leader, as a teacher, as a neighbor. And I think that, you know, taking 15 minutes to do that every day just enriches life, and it makes things much simpler. Because I think a lot of people get very, very confused, and I'm trying to limit the confusion.
Those are some very powerful but introspective questions that you're asking at the end of every day.
Yeah, and I guess sometimes the students will say, well, do you do it every day? And I'll say, yeah, I do it every day. I mean, if you and I are at a party until midnight, John, I'm going to guess both of us before we go to bed are going to brush our teeth, because we got in that habit when we were, 2 or 3 years old. And this is a habit. This is a habit. And it really started now almost 40 years ago when I went with my father-in-law on my first Jesuit retreat up in St. Paul, Minnesota. And folks will say, oh, well, do you have to write it down? And I say, well, no, you don't have to write it down. I try to make a few notes because, you know, that actually helps me, because if I've had a lot of running around, or maybe even a glass of wine, I may confuse the difference between self-reflection and just, having a daydream here. And it just keeps things alive. And I find it very helpful. And I'm always trying to get students and executives to realize the value of it and why it is so important.
You know, when I think of values and purpose, I can't help but think of the words of our blessed Lord Jesus in Matthew 6:21, where he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be." I think that that's a great reminder of what's really important.
It's fantastic. It's also, John, one of my favorites, because, again, if you're not self-reflective, you can get caught up in what's everybody else doing? What's everybody else striving for? You know, hey, I need more money. I need more possessions. And, you know, I may have mentioned to you in the past, John, that this whole idea of we're going to collect all these things, I need more and more stuff. And then as I get older, I realize, well, wait a minute, what am I going to do with all this stuff? I've got to give all this away. I got to get rid of it. I'm moving into a small apartment now. It's like, wait a minute, didn't you realize that when you were 50, sooner or later, you would be 80 and you'd have to downsize? But it's so fascinating to me that people just get caught up in, well, what's everybody else doing? And I'm always trying to get students and even executives, even leaders, to think through, you know, when do you stop worrying about what other people are doing and wondering, what should you be doing? What's God asking you to do? And when you don't take the time to think about this, John, I think you get surprised. In fact, that's the other one I literally will tease people about, that I think people that are self-reflective and prayerful, you can always tell when somebody else is self-reflective, because people that are not self-reflective, John, are constantly surprised, and you're surprised, they're surprised. See, because if you're self-reflective, there's not that many things to be surprised by. You know, sometimes we're going to win, sometimes we're going to lose. Sometimes we're going to lose our job. You know, sometimes children are going to get sick. Sometimes we're going to lose people that we love. It's all part of the temporary existence on this earth. And you try to do the right thing and do the best you can.
I want to invite our listeners, if you want to share your own personal experience of the value of not only prayer, but also self-reflection, asking some of these key questions that Professor Harry Kramer is asking. What are my values? What is my purpose? What is Christ asking me to do? If you'd like to chime in, and perhaps you know what it's like to feel like, hey, I'm just so busy, I can't find the time to do this. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 888-914-914. 149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Professor Harry Kramer. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149 is our number. 888-914-9149. If you want to share your own experiences of the value of prayer and self-reflection as we continue our discussion live from Mexico City, Mexico, with our good friend, Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Kellogg School of Management. Professor, you recently received an interesting note from a good friend that has really helped you with self-reflection and defining those values and purpose in life. Can you share a few of the highlights?
Sure. In all my classes, I'm always encouraging the students, and then when I talk to do leadership programs for executives or leaders, you know, hey, the importance of this, and don't just think about it. Literally, try to write down in a concrete way, purpose, values, what matters. And I got this note from one of my friends, who literally laid it out in a perfect way, because as you know, John, it's easy to say, I'm going to do something, but it doesn't get measured. It's just one other thing I'm going to do. And we all know very often in business, we have this slogan of what gets measured gets done. And if you don't measure it, it's not going to happen. And this fellow really laid out, John, I think I sent it to you. He really laid out what he's going to do and what he's not going to do. You know, he's going to be prayerful. He's going to be respectful of women. He's going to follow the commandments. He's going to judge himself, and he's going to continue to test himself and question, am I living the values that I state? And literally taking the time to write it down, hold yourself accountable. You know, I am going to go to Mass on Sunday. I'm not going to make an excuse that, oh, there's a golf tournament or, you know, somebody's got a Little League game. Well, guess what? There's Masses going on all day somewhere in your community. If I have to do something, I'll find another way to do it. Or maybe I'll go Saturday night or I'll go Sunday night. But this idea of literally holding yourself accountable, that's what we do in our jobs. That's what our bosses ask us to do. So why wouldn't we hold ourselves accountable in the same way in terms of purpose, values, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to measure myself, what matters? And I encourage all of us to take it because it becomes much more concrete and much easier to hold yourself accountable.
The importance of writing it down, how valuable is that?
Well, you know, it's funny, John. I think it's incredibly valuable because, you know, in fact, two things that I highly recommend. One is by writing it down, it's often said that you remember things and it's much clearer if you actually write it down. It's also very helpful, John, very, very helpful. Once you start a practice like this, to have a few people who can hold you accountable. You know, my wife Julie will often say, hey, Harry, left to your own devices, you could convince yourself of anything. Do you know what I think? Do you want to know what I think about what you're doing right now? By the way, John, after 42 years, the answer to that better be yes. And by the way, it reminds me, John, today is August the 9th. It's my 42nd wedding anniversary today. So when Julie asked me to do something, I try to do it. Because she's sort of the boss here.
I congratulations, Professor, to you and Julie. That is outstanding. What a way to celebrate in Mexico City with Our Lady of Guadalupe.
It's been fantastic, John. Been really fantastic. And to do that and to be able to share with you and all of my colleagues on Relevant Radio, it really, really is special. But I actually think, John, that if some of your listeners start to think about it, start to go through some of those questions. You know, what are my values, my purpose, what matters? And then they find somebody that they can bounce this off of. It's very, very helpful. In fact, the example that I would use, John, is I've gotten to know you fairly well now. I know your values. I know what matters to you. I know how strong of a Catholic you are. So if I could get together with you, I would literally sit down and say, hey, John, you know what? Over lunch today, when we're not working for half an hour, I want to share this with you. I want to let you know what's really important to me. And the beauty of doing this, John, is the feedback I get from you. See, because look at the range of responses I could get. You know, I could start to describe my purpose and so on. And you may say, I'll give you the good news and the bad news, right? The good news is you say to me, hey, Harry, you know what? Thanks for sharing. But I've been working with you for 2 years. I mean, bottom line is, based on your actions, I could have guessed what your values are. I mean, you're there. It's connected. I get it. That would be the good news, John. Now, the bad news is if I start to explain this and you stop me and say, Harry, wait a second. Based on your actions and based on how I see you treat people and what you do, I'm amazed you think those are your values. You're like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You're like two different people. And I think getting that feedback to make sure that you're in the real world, because let's be honest, John, it's very easy to confuse ourselves. It's very easy to convince ourselves that we're somebody that we're not. And I think whether that's from your spouse, from your friend, from maybe a priest, from somebody who is a fellow worker, getting that feedback, I think, John, becomes unbelievably important, I think, in this whole area of being self-reflective and prayerful.
Well, Professor Harry, as a longtime Chicago sports fan, I'm a Bears fan, but I have great respect for the late, great, legendary football coach Vince Lombardi, who used to say, God, family, Green Bay Packers. You could substitute Bears for that, but basically he was talking about the order, yeah. God, family, and then your vocation or profession, whatever it is that you do. I think that really helps me to put it in perspective.
It really does, and that's fantastic. It's, in addition to Vince Lombardi, there's a good friend of mine, Rick Waddell, who was a great example of a value-based leader in my mind, and I've often had him be a guest speaker in my class. And here's a fellow who was the CEO of a very large bank, and when students say, what are your values in terms of the prioritization of what matters in your life? And they're expecting him to talk about the stock price and the bank or whatever. And he goes, well, yeah, let me tell you my priorities in order, okay? My priorities in order, he said, and basically there's four of them. He goes, it's my faith, number one. It's my family number two. It's my job number three. And it's golf number four. He likes the golf. And I think, you know, the students watching that start to realize, wait a minute, what have I prioritized? You know, have I really put God first? Or is that something that I'll do, you know, when I have time, which of course we're not going to have the time because we filled it up with a lot of stuff that truly, truly doesn't matter. A lot of the materialism, a lot of the things we shouldn't be doing to begin with. And I often will tease the students, John. I give you four key words I often will say: discipline, focus, consistency, credibility. You know, I try to be disciplined. I try to be focused. I try to do it consistently. Then I start to establish a little credibility with myself, and then I can be credible with others, John.
Well, that's a great way to be, a great way to live, and I think that this is such an important discussion for all of us to have, is to just take a moment to see where we're at, take an inventory, and I think if you do it on a regular basis, as St. Ignatius has taught you, that's something that really can help us in our daily life and in our spiritual life as well.
Absolutely, and it's really helpful. It's just so fantastic, all of the listeners. In fact, I just got a message as I'm talking to you, John. One of my very, very good friends, a phenomenal woman and a tremendous Catholic, Carolyn Berghoff, just sent me a message saying, I'm offering my Mass, I think she's at Mass today now, for you, Harry, and for John. So you and I are fortunate. We got another person saying a Mass for us today, John.
Well, I really appreciate that. And, you know, we have less than a minute to go. Just a final quick thought there from Mexico City about the importance of self-reflection.
Yeah, I would say if each one of us today, once we finish taking care of the children or serving breakfast, if we could just take a couple of minutes, John, a couple minutes, and get a piece of paper and just start to jot down. What are my values? What is my purpose? What really matters? What is God asking me to do? And just start the process. And every once in a while, you know, when you're going to pick up the children and they're late and you got 10 minutes in the car, rather than getting excited, pull out that sheet of paper and add to it, journal a little bit. I think it'll make an enormous difference in all of our lives.
So much appreciate you taking the time to call us all the way from Mexico City, home of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Thank you so much, Professor Harry Kramer.
God bless you. Take good care, John. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Take good
Many
care.
Many blessings to you. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called I Love My Mama. It's from Reddit, who asked folks online a while back, what did you buy with your first ever paycheck? And the answer in this story, my family was never very blessed financially, and we were probably the poorest when I was in high school. My parents couldn't afford to buy me things, pay for sports, take me out to eat. I used to skip lunch and starve or find loose change from around the house and buy a Pop-Tart from the vending machine, highest food-to-cost ratio. Thing was, I knew my parents would spoil me if they could. If they had the money, they'd without a doubt buy me the yummiest foods and nicest clothes, but they just couldn't. When I got my first paycheck in high school, I snuck a $20 bill into my mom's and dad's empty wallets. I knew they needed it. The very next day, while I was at work, my mom called me and asked if I wanted to eat lunch during my break. Taco Bell, she said. I met up with her and we ordered together. My mom says, lunch is on me. And she smiled brightly and pulled out a bill from her wallet, the $20 bill. To this day, I haven't told her that I put that money in there, but she has no idea how much she touched my heart. The first person she thought of was her son. I love my mama. From James 1:17, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Let's love our mama. Let's honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary this month of August by praying the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For the entire team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. God bless America. We'll see you tomorrow. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.